أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. These days in the local media, the Canadian Hockey League is a prominent story. And I'm not going to talk about the game, don't worry about it. And this story basically goes back to the scandal regarding the Canadian Hockey League, where they settled the damages sought by a woman who alleged an incident of sexual assault which happened in 2018 during actually a charity event that they had in London, Ontario. The woman, who was 20 years old at that time, alleged that she had been intoxicated by one of the defendants at a local bar and then taken to a hotel room and was assaulted by the members of the team, the gold medal winning team of 2018. The Canadian government, of course, you know, stopped funding the Canadian Hockey League, and the major sponsors also have gradually withdrawn their sponsorship. But the take that we have on this issue is basically two things. One is the role of alcohol on individuals and the society, and this whole culture of free mixing of sexes, which leads to these kinds of situations. I talked about the issue of alcohol a month ago in one of the khutbahs, and the ayat that I presented was from Surah Maida, ayat 91. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan uses the alcohol, among other things, to create al-adawat wal-baghdha, animosity and hatred among one another, whether it is in a family life or social level. And we have to realize that when we talk about alcohol and this kind of, you know, free mixing of of a social kind, of the opposite sex, who are not mahram to one another, these are issues that Islam has talked about it 1400 years ago. Islam doesn't shy away from, you know, the issues which is, you know, impacting the nature of the human being. Whether we are rich or poor, educated or illiterate, from the elite class or a common, you know, commoner in the society, human nature does not change. This element of shahwa, you know, the desire, the passion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, it's itself a, you know, a serious element of ibtila and imtihan for us. It's a test and trial, you know. We are not talking about suppressing it, but using it only within the bounds of the divine laws. And this is where we see that the shaitan uses alcohol as well as free mixing as element to break out of that, you know, limits that the religious values have put. You have to realize that when we talk about, you know, mixing of the people who are not mahram to one another from the opposite sex, there is a saying in our religious teachings where we are told that if there is a man and a woman not mahram to one another in a very secluded, secure area, make sure that the third person present would be the shaitan. You know, this is where he looks for the opportunities. And when we talk about this issue, you know, it's not, as I said, it's not limited to any class or group of society. Nor is it limited to one religious group. Whether it is, you know, we're talking about Hollywood or the White House, you're talking about the biggest church in the United States of America and the religious leaders, or some of the madrasas, even in the Muslim cultures. You know, it is everywhere. And this is where Islam, when talks about this issue, alcohol on one side, and free mixing of people who are not related to one another, in these situations, this is where, you know, this is part of the human nature, and Quran doesn't shy away from talking about it. But now there is a third element, a modern phenomenon, which has been added to that. And that is basically, this is the celebrity culture. This is a new phenomenon. This is a 20th century issue which is very quickly spreading by the fast-reaching media. The celebrities, you know, the actors, the singers, the players, they become extremely wealthy by becoming the means to, you know, advertise products for the companies. And they have become measure of social power. I was just reading about this phenomenon and a quotation from John Lennon of the Beatles is that, you know, he once claimed that they are more popular than Jesus. And this reminds me of something that I talked about in the 80s when I was in Vancouver, that, you know, the new religion of this world is now the religion of sports. You know, the players are basically the gods, and the managers are the priests, and the stadiums are the temples. If you look at the whole phenomenon, this is where the churches are empty, and the stadiums are always filled. And this is a reality that when we talk about this issue of, you know, the cult of celebrity, unfortunately, with the social media, it's also is creeping into our religious, you know, culture also. You know, these days, of course, we use the social media to spread the message. It's not confined to this building. You know, but then the issue comes up, you know, how you look. And if you don't pay attention to it, people will make comments about it. You know, and this is where we have to realize that we have to be careful about these issues. When I hear comments like, you know, Maulana, what can I do? My son says, I would like to go and listen to him because he drives a convertible. If that is the criteria of going to a lecture or a seminar or a majlis, mashallah. And this is where, you know, this whole cult of celebrity is coming in. You know, where has the taqwa gone? Where is the righteousness gone? Where is the character of the person? These are the issues that we have to talk about. You know, these celebrities as such, of all kinds in this dunya, you might follow them now. On the day of Qiyamah, they will say, oh, I don't even know you. You know, and that's where we have to realize. And so let me end with a statement from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. And this has been quoted by other imams also, where he says, "Man asgha ila natiqin faqad abadahu." Just to show the seriousness of this issue, where Imam says, when you listen to a speaker, in a sense, you are worshiping that person. فَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يُعَدِّي عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. If the presenter is talking about the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يُعَدِّي عَنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. But if he's, you know, sending, giving you wrong messages, from the shaitan, فَقَدْ عَبَدَ الشَّيْطَانِ, then this person in the audience is worshipping the shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make us realize the challenges that we have during our own time, and even the issue of alcohol, free mixing, and this cult of celebrity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the importance of the values brought by Quran and the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف العباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. Today is the 10th of Rabi al-Awwal, which happens to be the anniversary of the marriage of our Prophet to Bibi Khadija salawatullah alayha. One of the important lessons that we learn from this marriage of the Prophet to Bibi Khadija is the criterion of selecting a spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Lady Khadija with wealth, affluence, prestige, and honor in the Arab society at that time. There were two caravans, trade caravans, which would travel from Mecca. In winter, they will go south to Yemen. In summer, they would go north to Damascus. And so that they were the Meccans were the middlemen between the east and the west, because Damascus was the main market for merchants coming from Africa and Eastern Europe. And Yemen was the port where the goods will come from China and India at that time. And it, just to get the sense of the wealth of Bibi Khadija, almost half of those caravans consisted of her goods and her camels. So she was indeed a very, you know, affluent lady. But the greatness of Bibi Khadija is that affluence did not corrupt her behavior, her character. She was not under the influence of arrogance which comes with money. In that way, you know, for us, Bibi Khadija even now is an example of somebody who is surrounded with wealth but not tied to the wealth. That's a big difference. Whether you are really the Malik or the Abd of your own wealth. And this is where the test comes up, you know, when you have to give it up. And we see her example later on when the Prophet started his mission. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges and suffering that the family of the Prophet went through. And Bibi Khadija didn't have any hesitation in giving up everything for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And her character is not tied to the Prophet. She was known as At-Tahira even before she married Rasulullah. At-Tahira means somebody who is pure. Pure in her character, لِشِدَّةِ عِفَافِهَا, because of the strong sense of chastity seen in her character. And this is where, you know, she received many, many proposals from the rich and the famous people of the society at that time. But she was not impressed by the celebrities, if I may use the modern term. You know, she did not accept those. She was looking for the character and not the wealth. And this is where, you know, she found it in her own employee, known as Muhammad bin Abdullah. When she got the report from her workers who were assigned to work with the Prophet as the new manager of the trade caravan which was going to Damascus, and when she looked at the result and the Prophet as well as the way he dealt with the people, this is where she is very much impressed by the sidq and the amanat, the truthfulness and trustworthiness of the Prophet's character. And these are the two, you know, foundation of akhlaq and morality in Islam. And that is where, you know, she is the one who chose not wealth and social status, she chose the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me end with an ayat of Quran from Surah number 53, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, talks about this issue of how do I choose the messenger? The people of Makkah also had very similar ideas as the modern people now. You know, they used to say to Rasulullah, قَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنَ عَظِيمٍ. They said, you know, why the revelation came to this Muhammad? He's a simple man. You know, why didn't it come? Why was the Quran not revealed to one of the two important figures in the two cities, of referring to Makkah and Taif? And historians actually give the name of those two individuals who were known to be people of great status in that society. And so they were thinking, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to send a messenger to us, why not one of these two individuals? Why Muhammad bin Abdullah? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, I choose, not you. I decided to make Muhammad bin Abdullah my last and the greatest of the prophets. Salawat upon the Ikbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the seerah and the example of the Prophet and his family, and so that we can implement and live by that, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyid al-mursaleen wa shafi al-mudhunibin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala imam al-muttaqeen wa amir al-mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib salamatullah alayhi. وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما حيا صار البدو وطغيان هادي بأبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكهل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون